This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Have you gotten Romo yet?
Welcome into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. I am Ben McKee, joined by Ryan Callahan on this edition of the podcast because Tennessee has remained hot on the recruiting trail. Mr. Callahan and picked up another commitment.
They have, and this is a pretty big one. One of Tennessee's top in-state targets in the 2025 class, wide receiver Rodarius Jackson of Sheffield High School in Memphis, has committed to the Vols. And this is, I think a guy who's still probably not as high profile as he might be by the end of the year. But make no mistake, this is a guy Tennessee has viewed as a big-time priority for at least over the past few months. And really probably as important as any wide receiver Tennessee was recruiting. I think Tennessee's really been high on his potential, especially since back in January when Josh Heupel and Kelsey Pope got to go over to his school during the contact period leading up to National Signing Day and see him play basketball and just see kind of the athleticism in person. But this is a guy who had just a breakout junior season, just massive numbers on both sides of the ball. Just kind of a freak athlete and someone that I think a lot more people are going to know about 6 months from now than they do now, especially if he had a senior season similar to his junior season. But big deal for Tennessee to get this one wrapped up again before the end of April, for Tennessee to be able to land another top in-state target, you know, to have guys like George McIntyre and Ethan Utley and now Rodarius Jackson already committed in-state. That's a big deal for Tennessee. So this is a really nice pickup, beating out some other good programs. And maybe the big thing about this, there's probably not a clear second place finisher at this point. There were several other teams in the picture, you know, Ole Miss, Auburn, Oregon, teams like Vanderbilt had actually hosted him on visits, but this is the kid who hadn't taken a whole lot of visits to different schools. That's the key thing here. Probably a few months ago, I never would have imagined that he would be willing to commit this early because he just hadn't been through the recruiting process for very long. I thought this was one that would probably play out until the summer just to kind of see what was out there. And so give Tennessee credit because I think it's to their advantage that this one probably doesn't get to the summer where they don't have to worry about him going to camp at places, some big programs where he doesn't have offers yet and things like that. But right now, even at this point, a pretty nice recruiting win here for Tennessee. And again, he's a four-star in the 24/7 sports composite, but probably even more important than that would suggest in regard to how much of a priority he is for Tennessee. So this is a really nice get for Tennessee, and especially at this particular time in the recruiting calendar.
Well, I think Tennessee fans, their ears should really perk up when they hear that Ole Miss and Auburn and Oregon were involved. Those are three high-profile offenses that He is picking Tennessee over, especially when you look at Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin within your own league, and Ole Miss and Oxford being 45 minutes to an hour down the road from West Tennessee in the Memphis area. That's kind of what stood out to me, and everything that you just said is that, hey, Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin and Dan Lanning wanted him. I'm sold.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that obviously lends a lot of credibility to it. No question about it. I knew, and you could see the ability last fall. I mean, he started to kind of blow up mid-season. He got his first Power Five offer from Colorado in October. I think it was 5 days later, Tennessee offers, and in a span of about a week or two, he got, you know, he reeled off Tennessee, Auburn, several of those major offers right out of the gates, and just was, I mean, putting up ridiculous numbers left and right. He won Tennessee's Class 3A Mr. Football Award last year. Among his big numbers, had 9 interceptions on defense. I mean, he just made plays everywhere. He makes plays after the catch. The impressive thing to me, and I've gotten to see him in person a couple times now, his catch radius, his strong hands. I wouldn't say he's a burner. He's just a good football player in that regard. I'd love to see what he runs in the 100. I think he's working on some track stuff right now that might improve his speed or give a better feel for his speed. But he's just one of those guys that has probably better football speed than track speed. But he's just going to be a guy that can make some really impressive catches, I think, in his college career. And it's just kind of naturally strong. You know, he's been a hard worker, talking with his high school coach throughout his high school career. And, you know, sounds like the kind of guy that is just sort of tapping into his physical potential just a little bit right now. And once he gets into a college strength program, I mean, he's already a pretty lean 6'2" and about 195 pounds, maybe a shade over 195. I think this is the guy that could be a you know, 210, 215, and it won't even be that hard for him to get to that point by the time he gets in a college strength program. So I think he's just going to be that all around receiver that can go up and get it, that can make a tough catch in traffic. That, you know, we'll see if it ends up being more, you know, Derrick Rogers or whatever in terms of build and skill set. But he can just do a little bit of everything, and he's, you know, again, he's not. I don't think he's going to be a burner. I don't think he's going to be Jalen Hyatt, but I think he's got a chance to be just a really good all around receiver that can make plays in a variety of ways. And, you know, again, Tennessee was pretty sold on him after seeing him play basketball and thought the athleticism just kind of popped out when you see him in person. And no question, that's the thing you hear from everybody that has gotten to see him in person. So yeah, I think this is one where the perception hasn't quite caught up at least in some places to where he's been on Tennessee's board, because, you know, Jamie French and Caleb Cunningham and some other guys have been priorities for Tennessee, but I think Redarius Jackson's been right up there with them in regard to just how important he is to Tennessee. And you know, as you said, some other good coaches like him too, and if they had to wait till the summer on him, I had a feeling that, you know, some other big programs would have been in the mix for him as well, and they would have had to fight off some really major contenders.
Well, why do you think he went ahead and pulled the trigger? Because it seemed like the consensus, like you're saying, was that he was going to wait for some time, and this kind of came out of left field for him to make a decision this quickly.
Yeah, a little bit of that built from the visit to Tennessee he took earlier this month. He before this month, his only trip to Knoxville had been back in November for the Vols game against Georgia. And again, that was a little more than a month after Tennessee had offered. So that gave him a feel for the program and game day and things like that. But he didn't really learn all that much about some of the day to day and just the routine of being a player and everything else the program had to offer till he came back earlier this month. He was there on April 6th for that final weekend practice before the orange and white game. And that visit seemed to help it kind of click in his mind, you know, all the things that Tennessee could give him and what that offense could do for him. And I think it just started to feel a little more comfortable to him after that visit. So a couple weeks removed from that, just kind of, you know, continued to build. And I think, you know, a few days removed from that, I think he started to think, hey, I think I really could see myself going there. I think I want to maybe wrap this up sooner than expected. So it's something that Tennessee, I think he knew Tennessee was going to be one of his top choices for sure. But that visit, I think, helped make Tennessee the clear favorite in a way that that was able to help Tennessee get that one across the finish line. And you know, he's had some other guys recruiting him too. You know, I mentioned some of the guys in state. You know, George McIntyre is one of his, or has been one of his 7-on-7 teammates. They haven't gotten to play together a lot on the Tennessee select team where they've been teammates, but they've gone to workouts together and things like that. So they do know each other, and George McIntyre has texted him quite a bit and done his best to get him on board. He's obviously a 7-on-7 teammate as well of Cameron Sparks and other Tennessee's top receiver targets in state. And so they know some guys that have helped kind of push him in that direction too. And then, you know, I think just, you know, the way Tennessee's recruited him as well. I don't think anyone's prioritized him quite as much as Tennessee has. You know, he's been hearing from them pretty much every day, for months now. And Kelsey Pope in particular has done a really nice job with him and, you know, kind of told him, hey, you know, we've got similar backgrounds. You know, I came from a similar background as you and as what you've experienced in Memphis there. And it's, you know, I think he's kind of found some common ground there with Kelsey Pope and likes what he's heard from him about how he can develop him and what this offense at Tennessee can do for him. So I think there's just a few things that have kind of gradually led him in that direction. But I think that visit a couple of weeks ago really did help Tennessee kind of move things significantly forward and help him start to think, hey, I might be near the end of this, as opposed to waiting a few more months. You know, why wait and take official visits when I already kind of know that's what I want to do?
I did want to ask you kind of about the lead recruiters in this particular recruitment. Sounds like Kelsey Pope led the charge in this one and did a fairly good job. I know that Joey Halsley, Josh Heupel, they all chip in, but sounds like Kelsey Pope really grabbed the bull by the horns in this one.
Yeah, this one was a lot of Kelsey Pope and also I would say a lot of Josh Heupel. You see that a lot with important in-state recruitments, important out-of-state recruitments too. But this is one of those where Josh Heupel was personally involved a good bit. But yeah, Kelsey Pope definitely gets most of the credit on this one as far as the recruiter rankings are concerned. And he, you know, I think he did a really nice job there and has I think continued to get some results there after, you know, some people had some early questions about Kelsey Pope, that first class, you know, where Nathan Leacock was the big pickup at wide receiver. You know, last year goes out and gets Mike Matthews and Braylon Staley, and now this year throwing on top of that, Rodarius Jackson, and has Joakim Dotson from Memphis as well. That's looking, that commitment's looking better and better as time goes on. You know, as Georgia offered him last month, and I think his stock has continued to rise as well since he committed to Tennessee back in February. So I think Kelsey Pope's done a nice job and continued to show the last couple of years that he is making a name for himself as a recruiter. And yeah, this is one where he, I think, knew pretty quickly after they got Rodarius Jackson on campus that he was a priority and someone they had to get in state, frankly, and just, you know, really did a good job and built a strong connection that I think helped Tennessee gave Tennessee a chance to get this one done earlier than expected. So that was definitely a big part in this. And without that connection with Kelsey Pope, I doubt this one gets across the finish line this quickly. So I think he certainly deserves a lot of credit for the way he's recruited Rodarius Jackson and just sort of the relationship they've built over the past 5 or 6 months.
And I know that you mentioned that Rodarius can do a lot of different things as a receiver, but sounds like he is destined to play out on the perimeter.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's about 6'2", and that's verified from some recent visits. 6'2" and about 195, so he's definitely got the build of an outside receiver. You know, certainly wouldn't say he's incapable of playing in the slot, but I think he belongs on the outside most likely. And again, has sort of just the skill set to play out there too. You know, he can track the deep ball. He can use strong hands to make catches in traffic as well. But he can get down the field and make, you know, sort of the catch radius gives him the ability to make a lot of plays down the field. So in this offense, it's not hard to imagine him making a big play along the sideline and things like that. So his size and his strength are going to give him a chance to make some plays all over the field. But yeah, I think he most likely projects as an outside guy. And I think they're pretty excited about what he can do in their offense. You know, just this year in 7-on-7, I've seen some plays that he's made you know, along the sidelines where he goes up and, you know, makes kind of a toe touch grab along the sideline and things like that. You know, he's got the versatility and the strength and the size to do a lot of different things. But yeah, a guy with that kind of skill set almost always is going to belong outside. And certainly think that's what Tennessee has in mind for him right now. But, you know, again, in a lot of ways, I think he is still just kind of scratching the surface of what he can be. It is going to be interesting to see how he develops, but for a guy as big as he is already, you don't see those guys in the slot too often. So I think he'll be an outside receiver for the most part.
Still plenty more to discuss following Rodarius Jackson's commitment to Tennessee here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, a breaking news edition of the podcast. But first, we do need to take a quick timeout, and we will do so right now.
Money!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, a breaking news edition of the podcast, because Rodarius Jackson out of Sheffield High School in Memphis has committed to Tennessee. And we are joined by Ryan Callahan on this edition of the pod to give us the scoop on Rodarius and his decision. I am Ben McKee. And before we continue our conversation, I do need to encourage you to go like, rate, and review the podcast wherever you do get your podcast. That's how you can help us. And that's how we would be very grateful, on top of all the other ways that we are grateful. That's another way that we will be grateful towards you, the listener. And if there's a Tennessee football recruiting fan out there who hasn't quite found our podcast just yet and the wealth of information that Ryan Callahan provides, if you don't mind sending this podcast in their direction, sharing us with them, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Mr. Callahan, Tennessee continues to get it done in state. We will talk about the in-state class as a whole here in just a moment. But pretty special, I think, for Tennessee to land two in-state receivers who are very talented and have quite a bit of potential early on in the class.
Yeah, and I've kind of thought for a while this was a receiver class that had the potential to be, you know, pretty heavy on in-state players, and it's shaping up that way so far. Now where the rest of it goes from here will be interesting, but this is a pretty good year for receivers in-state, and we kind of saw early on, you know, that Cameron Sparks, the four-star athlete from Chattanooga that I mentioned, you know, he's most likely going to be a receiver in college, based on everything we know right now. So that's another possibility out there. But, you know, we saw that Rodarius Jackson looked like a priority. We saw that Tennessee had been recruiting Joakim Dotson pretty heavily for some time. So they've done a good job outside the state as well. But knowing that that possibility was there in state, that the state doesn't always produce, you know, three SEC quality receivers that you want in the same class. That was an opportunity I think Tennessee wanted to take advantage of. And let's face it, they've got to build the numbers at receiver too. So it was important for them to take advantage of that in state and sort of make that the at least the foundation of their receiver class. So I think to get a couple of those already in the boat, that's a big deal for Tennessee. And certainly, as you said, they've done a really nice job in state. But that's important when you have priorities like that, that you kind of set your sights on players and you're able to get them. And they've done a nice job of that. And again, the impressive part to me is that they've been able to get some of these guys so early, and it sort of frees them up. But you know, you also have guys like George McIntyre and Ethan Utley who relish the chance to be peer recruiters, who are now able to kind of sink their teeth into some guys and see what they can accomplish as peer recruiters, trying to convince other guys to join them this summer as they host them on official visits and things like that. And you know, we'll see if Rodarius Jackson helps much with that. He's kind of a quiet kid, so I'm not sure that'll be his cup of tea necessarily, but I could see him, you know, certainly helping there in some cases. So yeah, it helps to have those guys as ambassadors too. But yeah, big deal to get those types of players and to get them at all, but especially to get them this early and sort of have some certainty in your class and a nice foundation to build around. And I think it says something too when in-state players are willing to jump in that early, because those are the guys who know your program the best a lot of times. And I think it can sort of show that things are in a healthy place for your program when in-state players are not hesitating too long to go ahead and jump in.
I want to put you on the spot about Cam Sparks, since you brought him up, the athlete receiver there at Baylor in the Chattanooga area. Now with two receivers in the boat for Tennessee and several other big-time prospects out of the state of Tennessee, do you feel like this is approaching the territory in which Cam Sparks needs to get in the boat rather quickly to make sure that he has a spot at Tennessee if Tennessee is where he wants to end up?
I don't know if it's to that point. That's an interesting recruitment. And the longer it's gone on, the more I could at least see the possibility of him going elsewhere being a more realistic option than I would have thought 4 or 5 months ago. I still think there's a better chance than not that he ends up at Tennessee. And I don't think there's any reason to think that, you know, that there's a time crunch there, but at the same time, they are set up, as you said, to host some other guys on official visits. You know, you've got even outside of the five stars like Jamie French and Caleb Cunningham, who I'm a little skeptical of Tennessee's chances with those guys, but they're certainly battling for both and have a chance to host them on official visits in June. But even outside of those, you know, sort of bigger names, you've got Thomas Blackshear out of Georgia, former high school teammate of Jake Merklinger down in Savannah, Georgia. Players like that, and even some others like DJ Miller out of St. Louis that they hosted on a visit within the past few weeks this spring. So it's a lot of options on that board. And you know, Marcus Harris out of California, another four-star. You know, they've done a good job of sort of setting the plate at setting the table at receiver to give themselves a chance this summer to finish with some of those guys. And if they end up being in a position to land one or two that they maybe don't expect to or aren't counting on, then it could get interesting. So I don't think we're there yet, but maybe to your point, Ben, if we get in deep into the summer and there's some real uncertainty on Cameron Sparks' end, and Tennessee sees some other possibilities of guys ready to jump in, maybe then it could become an issue. So I think they're, you know, it's still a situation where they're still, you know, relatively patient. I don't think they have to press the issue, but yeah, that if it plays out through the summer and everybody takes their full schedule of official visits and things play out into June or July, and there's still not much clarity and it doesn't look like Cameron Sparks is on the verge of jumping in, then that's where things could get interesting. I don't think he'll play it out too long, but I do think he is looking more like a summer commitment than he looked like at one time. And that's that opens the door for some possibilities. So yeah, that's at least an interesting situation to watch now. And he's been to Miami and Florida State here recently. So I do have my eyes on that one a little bit more than I did a couple months ago. So that I still think, again, if I was projecting right now, I would probably say Cameron Sparks ends up at Tennessee, but I could definitely see a realistic scenario where that doesn't happen as well.
Are Caleb Cunningham and Jamie French the top receivers on the board? Maybe I'm looking too much at the rankings, because if I'm not mistaken, they're probably the highest ranked guys that Tennessee is pursuing. But I do know that Tennessee's receiver board at the moment is pretty loaded. There's a lot of receivers that they are considering and talking to and recruiting. But who do you think are the top guys? Is it Caleb Cunningham and Jamie French, the two highest ranked guys?
Yeah, I think if you were just projecting, you know, who are the best they can get, who are the ones they really want? Yeah, I think it's those two. And it has been for months, frankly. But, you know, again, I mentioned I was a little skeptical on those guys. Part of the reason, the perception, and I think that probably the accurate assessment of the situation for a while with Jamie French has been that Ohio State is the team to beat there. And to the point that he's got official visits set up in June, Ohio State's not one of them. He's saving his official visit to Ohio State for the fall. So I think that's one of those situations where Ohio State is clearly in the driver's seat and somebody's going to have to take them down for him not to go there. And that's, you know, Texas is a team that's a real threat. Tennessee is the other that might have a realistic shot. And they'll get an official visit. They impressed him this spring. So anything can happen. But I just think there's some real work to do there to knock off Ohio State. And then in the other case, Caleb Cunningham, it's more about the number of teams involved there. He took a bunch of visits this spring. There's a lot of contenders for him. Tennessee's in it. I think they've been in it for a while. And I think there are reasons he likes Tennessee, and he's been talking with George McIntyre and Jamie French has as well. McIntyre's done a really nice job with both of those guys. So they've prioritized Cunningham as well, had him on multiple visits. But there's a lot of teams in the mix on that one. And that's another one where the in-state schools, he's such a priority for Ole Miss and Mississippi State that it might not be easy for him to leave the state in the end. But even if he does, you know, there's some, you know, LSU and, you know, all these other big schools are in there too. So it's just that one's just about the number of teams and the number of possibilities. That one sort of feels a little more like a Ryan Wingo recruitment last year, if you followed that one, where there were just so many teams involved. You're like, someone's gonna be willing to do everything it takes to get this guy. And it's going to make it hard for Tennessee to ultimately land him. That's kind of the way it feels with Caleb Cunningham. So I'm a little skeptical, but again, they're right in the thick of those, and you're going to take some swings. And to that point, it makes it easier to sit back and wait and take your swings at guys like that when you already have a couple guys like Re'Darius Jackson and like Jochen Dotson in the class. So that's one reason you want some certainty at the wide receiver position, to be able to sit back and sort of let things play out this summer. Now you're in a good spot to say, okay, let's see what happens with Cameron Sparks. Let's see what happens with Jamie French and Caleb Cunningham. If we were to get one of those guys, hey, we've got a spot for them. And if not, we can sit back and assess the other options, the guys that take official visits this summer. So they're again in a pretty good spot to be selective, but to know they've got a pretty good number of good possibilities out there.
Two more questions for you before we get out of here, and they're both kind of what's next questions. First, about the receivers, I know you've already discussed a couple of other receiver storylines for Tennessee this cycle, but if you could only pick one storyline, if you had to pay attention to only one right now, currently, what do you think is next for Tennessee at the receiver position this cycle?
Man, that's a tough one, because there are so many names in play. You know, I think it really is just going to come down to the official visits there for Tennessee, I think, in most cases. I think if you're picking one, though, I think it might be Cameron Sparks, just to kind of see what happens there, because if he were to go elsewhere, then you're looking for a couple more. We've talked about it, you know, for a while now. Tennessee wants to sign four receivers in this class, if at all possible. So Cameron Sparks is a big variable. If Tennessee were to not get him, then you've got a couple spots to fill. And if they were to get him, then obviously you only need one more. And you know, some other names I definitely want to throw out there, though. You know, we mentioned Jamie French and Caleb Cunningham kind of being, you know, the other top guys on the board. And I think Re'Darius Jackson was kind of that third in that main tier at the top for Tennessee. I think right in that same discussion, maybe just a hair behind them, but also just about as important to Tennessee, is Travis Smith Jr. out of Atlanta. And that's another big time target that Tennessee still has a fighting chance at. And if I had to project right now, out of those big names left on the board, he might be the most realistic one of the bunch. So I think that's one worth watching still. Georgia might be the team in the best shape with him at the moment, and that's probably been the case, or at least according to most people close to that recruitment, that's probably been the case for the past couple months now. But that's one where I think there's a scenario where Tennessee could win out in that one. So they've done a really good job with him, and there's a strong enough relationship. He believes in Tennessee's offense and what they've been selling him. I think there's a chance Tennessee could land him maybe. So Travis Smith Jr., maybe the other one out of state that's really worth watching. And then there's some other guys, you know, that next group would be kind of the Marcus Harris and Philip Bell, the West Coast guys that Tennessee's been in on. And then, you know, I mentioned Thomas Blackshear out of Savannah, Georgia. There's several other possibilities out there. And who else they end up bringing in on official visits will also be interesting. You know, I mentioned DJ Miller as of the recording of this podcast. He doesn't have an official visit scheduled to Tennessee, but has been talking about taking one. So some of the other guys that end up taking official visits will be interesting. And even if some of those that are scheduled end up happening, that'll be fascinating to watch if the Philip Bells and the Marcus Harris, if those go on as planned. So they've got some things to sort out, but again, you're in a much better position to do that. But I just think looking at the rest of the class, you know, probably the biggest wild card might be, does Cam Sparks end up being part of this class or not? And if he does, then you're only looking for one more receiver. And you know, you ideally want that to be a big time guy, but you just don't know who else is going to be most realistic at this point. But yeah, to me, that's who Cameron Sparks, or that's where Sparks, I think, is important, because if you don't end up with him, then you've got to find a couple more guys. And then that's where Tennessee has to do a little more out of state work there. And that's obviously, you know, realistic, but you've got to go win some battles against some pretty heavy hitters in some cases.
My other what's next question is, what's next for Tennessee in state outside of the receiver position?
Yeah, that's where, beyond Cameron Sparks, there aren't as many names as people might have expected, but I think there are some possibilities still out there for sure. Maybe the biggest and most important in some ways might be Shakai Mills-Knight, the running back from Baylor School in Chattanooga. And he's not originally from the state of Tennessee. He's from Montreal. Moved in less than a year ago to enroll at Baylor. So he's not a guy with deep ties to the state of Tennessee, but he's obviously in the Vols' backyard now, and they want to take advantage of having him there. He's a guy who's really blown up since Tennessee offered him back in December. They've got some major competition for him. You know, Miami has been on him pretty heavily lately. Alabama offered him not too long ago. The list of contenders there has grown pretty fast, and Ohio State might be the most significant of those contenders in some ways, because he had a good relationship with Carlos Lachlan, the new running backs coach at Ohio State, when he was at Oregon. And that was the first running back offer Lachlan handed out after getting to Ohio State, at least the first new offer. So that's certainly a significant school to watch in his recruitment as well. But Tennessee will get an official visit. I believe that's set for the weekend of June 14th. So that's an important one for Tennessee in state as they look for another running back in the 2025 class. They've got some other options there, but obviously it would be nice for them to be able to take care of that in state and not have to go win a battle in somebody else's backyard for a big time running back. So yeah, that's one worth tracking for sure. You know, obviously we mentioned Cameron Sparks, and then beyond that, you know, we'll see. There's some other options out there. There's some guys they've offered at the linebacker position that could come into play. Austin Howard out of Bartlett, Tennessee, just outside of Memphis, there is one of them. He's an interesting one because he's a Vanderbilt commitment, and right after he committed to Vanderbilt, a few days later, he reported an offer from Tennessee. One of those situations where I think Tennessee would like to see him in camp this summer, and I think at the same time there's real interest there, where if they see what they think they might see when he gets to camp, he could become pretty quickly a real option for Tennessee at linebacker. So that's one to keep an eye on in state, and there's some other guys like that they're still maybe keeping an eye on as well at different positions. But I think those are probably a few of the main names to watch going forward in state. It's an interesting year in state because, again, there's some really good players at the top, but there's some differing opinions on the sort of the depth of this in-state class. And I think there are a lot of guys in the in the maybe pile for Tennessee, but not a lot in the, yeah, we definitely want them pile, and sort of who ends up where over the next few months will be interesting to see, or if Tennessee makes some different guys priorities at some point that are not priorities right now. You know, there's some guys based on the rankings that people might assume Tennessee's pursuing them pretty aggressively, but they're not. You know, one for instance right now would probably be Chauncey Gooden, the highly ranked offensive lineman from Lipscomb Academy, not a priority for Tennessee at the moment. Could that change? Maybe not out of the question, but hasn't happened to this point. So where does this in-state class go at a few positions? That'll be interesting to see. There are some offensive linemen and other guys there still evaluating. So always possible they could find another name or two at least this summer.
How can people follow you and your work to keep up with the latest on Tennessee football recruiting?
Yeah, govols247.com. It's a great time to sign up for the site right now. 50% off an annual subscription. If you are a current monthly subscriber, you can also use that deal to upgrade to annual at the discounted rate. So go check that out and get all of our coverage of Tennessee recruiting, football, basketball, baseball, and more. And obviously you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Ryan Callahan 247, and follow the staff account while you're at it, at GoVols 247.
For Ryan Callahan, I'm Ben McKee. This has been another edition of the GoVols 247 podcast, a breaking news edition, because Redarius Jackson, a receiver from Sheffield High School in Memphis, has committed to Tennessee.
There's that button. And now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 247 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 247 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 247 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/govols247. You can also go to facebook.com/govols247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at govols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run round the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to govols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.